Welcome to the show. This is Pagan Spirituality Today, episode number 9. I'm your host, Kveldrida. Thanks for joining me. As you can tell, I have finally learned how to put music into Audacity. Yay for me! Well, really, Oni helped me figure out the last details. I thought I had it understood, and I was simply not getting it. Anyway, the opening song for today's show was from Rosa Passos, off of an album called Samba Bossa Nova from Putumayo Records. It's a world music record label that Oni and I listen to quite a bit. I'll give you their website at the end of the show, and there will be another 1 minute segment of a song to close the show. I'm going to try this for a while, about a minute of a song to open and a minute of a different song to close the show, sharing with you some of my interest in world music. And I want you to let me know how you like it. Not necessarily one individual song versus another, but did you prefer the show without music, or do you prefer the show with music? It had been my intention all along to share some of this music with you, but technically I never could figure out how to do it. Today's date, by the way, is April the 9th. I want to make a quick announcement. I did not list the show as explicit, and I will not use any bad language or cursing whatsoever, but I want to warn parents in case you have your kids with you. A few adult themes will find their way into the show today. Language will in no way be explicit or specific, but some things may come up that you might not want younger kids to hear about. Last episode, I put out a call for people to send in their ghost experiences. I've had one entry thus far. From Scarlett at Lakefront Pagan Voice, she sent an MP3 file. Thank you, Scarlett. Anyone else who is wanting to include their stories, either MP3 or email version, please get them in. I'd like to work on that ghost show the end of this month or the first week of next month. So keep those entries coming, folks. One quick correction before I go on. Now, I'm a big fan of Brooke the iPod Witch. I don't know if I've mentioned that before. And she is always having this war with pronouns, as far as listeners and their email. I should have learned not to use pronouns when I was not certain, but clearly I haven't. I mentioned in episode 6 or 7, I think it was originally 7, that I got a fantastic email from Kelly, whom I referred to as she, throughout the rest of that conversation. Well, of course, it turns out Kelly is a man. It's not that uncommon, a name for men. I've actually known a man named Kelly in my personal life, but it never occurred to me. I simply didn't think about it, so I'm sorry, Kelly. I hope that sets the record straight for everyone. Kelly, by the way, and I have exchanged a number of emails, and he is a fabulous communicator. I very much enjoy his thoughts. I have also received several comments and other emails since the last episode, episode number 8. You can read the comments at the Podbean page. They are displayed there. I only have one email, well, one emailer who has given me permission to use parts of their email on the air, and I will be doing that today. This is Rob S. from Michigan. I'll be talking about Rob's email in a minute when I get into the first of two topics. I'm going to be speaking about ethics today. Ethics, morals, values, virtues, that sort of stuff. And Rob's email is important to this topic. But before I get into the larger issue of ethics and values, I want to get into the topic of tolerance. This is something that Rob brought up to me. It was in my last show when I was referring to Ravencast. I said that there are some people in Asatru who have racist views, or mildly, as I call them, soft racist views. Rob was responding to that show and sent me an email about tolerance, so I will read a little bit from his email in just a second. But before I go on to do that, I wanted to say, I mentioned in the last show that I am not searchable on iTunes. If you put in the word pagan or search the religion and spirituality category, my show does not come up. I have emailed iTunes. I have checked my Podbean feed for iTunes for mistakes. I haven't found any mistakes, and iTunes has not responded to me. So I'm asking you all to do me a favor. If you like this show, and you know other people who are into podcasts, just let them know about it. Point them in the proper direction. I'm not concerned overly that the numbers be gigantic. It was not my intent when I started doing the show. However, not being searchable on the largest podcast search engine on the planet is not entirely fair, as far as I'm concerned. And I can't do anything about it technically, so I'm asking you, the listener, to do something about it within your own realm. And I appreciate whomever you might steer in the direction of this show. All right, the first thing that I'm going to talk about today is the issue of tolerance. First, let me define tolerance. I looked it up in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. There are a number of different entries there. Let me read you some from that. Sympathy or indulgence for beliefs or practices differing from or conflicting with one's own. The act of allowing something. This is the basic idea of tolerance, right? We all understand this. However, in my opinion, some people seem to be equating tolerance with acceptance. That if you're allowing something, you are in support of that something. So I looked up the word accept. Looking up acceptance just refers you to accepted, accept, etc. Under the dictionary definition for accept, it says, to give admittance or approval, to endure without protest or reaction, to regard as proper, normal, or inevitable, to recognize as true. That makes a pretty clear distinction between tolerating something and accepting something. Now, why am I making this distinction? Why am I going into this topic at all? Well, tolerance is something that is coming up a lot in other podcasts, online. It's something pagans seem to be a little bit obsessed with, and I want to talk about that some. I remember Fox from Pagan Parents on the Edge talking about wearing a perhaps flamboyant shirt covered in sequins to a pagan festival some years ago. And then he got a very negative reaction from some people. They gave him dirty looks, as he said. And he said, I thought we were tolerating each other. I thought paganism was about being open. In that way, I agree. Styles of dress, whether or not I believe the gods are independent beings or faces of a larger singular whole, I feel like these things are what we're supposed to tolerate from each other. This is the big tent idea. Whether you use a different color for the Western Quarter. Maybe I'm the only person on the planet that uses chartreuse, but so what? Why can't you tolerate that difference? Maybe you don't want to attend my circles. By the way, I don't use chartreuse. I don't even call the directions, but that's here nor there. Why can't people tolerate that sort of difference? Why is that a problem? Asking you to tolerate it is not asking you to accept it, agree with it or consider it normal. It is simply saying, let it be. You can recognize that it's different and not have to react to it negatively. In my opinion, if something is not in direct conflict with your moral or ethical beliefs or your value, I think overall trying to tolerate difference is a good idea, and it's something we should try to do. If, however, as we will see with Rob S. and his email in just a second, an issue is in direct conflict with your morals or values, tolerance isn't something you can ask of another. Let me give you an example of what I mean by reading a small section of Rob's email. Quote, and I guess I'm not sure about being involved in a religion, this is a Satru he is referring to, where it seems like the various powers that be seem to turn a blind eye to the 800-pound gorilla in the room. Now I realize that at least one organization, namely the Troth, takes a pretty strong stance on the matter, stating publicly on their website that their organization is open to anyone no matter race, creed, color, sexual orientation, etc., who hears the call of the gods. Because of that stance, the Troth is the only Asatru heathen organization I'd even consider joining. But I still feel like that gorilla is still sitting there. It's like there's a live and let live mentality. It's like you folkish types can sit over there and have your little white people only rituals, and we'll be over here for everyone else, and we'll all be okay with that. Is that the way it is? Should the more open-minded among us be so tolerant that we'll share the same big table with those who have ideologies that we absolutely abhor? End quote. In my opinion, no. If you feel like someone has a view, they hate homosexual, they hate people of different races, or they want unfair treatment for those people, I don't think you need to sit at a big table, a small table, or any other table. You do not need to tolerate them at all. However, this is where personal view gets separated from public policy. I will not worship or be friends with someone who hates people of another race or hates gay people. Period. End of discussion for me personally. However, this is America. You are allowed to think whatever you want. I don't feel like those people should be oppressed for their views. I'm not encouraging them. I'm not saying I feel your views are valid, since I do not. But that's my personal belief. I am not trying to homogenize paganism or America in general. People have a right to think whatever they want to think. You also have a right to disagree loudly, publicly, with your actions and your opinions. But we can't take the people we don't agree with and make them move to another island. If their behavior is not illegal, if it is not dangerous, we may choose not to tolerate it, to be part of it, or engage with them in any way, but that does not give us the right to remove from them their right to their own opinion. That's homogenization. That's the kind of religious or social intolerance that people like the Taliban get talked about for. We don't want to be those people. We don't want to tell folks you're not allowed to think that way. Although we might say, don't ever come in my house if you do, and I don't want to hear a damn thing you have to say. But that's not the same as saying you just aren't allowed to think that way. Tolerance is great, and it would be good for society if everyone had more of it, particularly a subculture or minor religion as far as number of adherents, like paganism. The more we tolerate each other, the stronger we will be, the better relations we will have with each other. But I don't think anyone should ask me or another person to truncate or ignore our moral and ethical views in the name of tolerance. That's just not what I signed up for. I never took an oath to accept any behavior from anyone because I became a pagan. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way for me. Tolerance was not even an issue discussed in paganism before the 1990s. Gerald Gardner was not tolerant. He felt if you weren't doing exactly what he was doing, you weren't a witch. You weren't allowed to call yourself a witch. Tolerance is something that has come to the religion later, and we have to remember what its place is. And we also need to remember that it's not the same thing as acceptance. You can tolerate, i.e. have sympathy for, practices other than your own without considering them normal or correct. You can tolerate things you simply don't like, but I don't think you should try to tolerate things you believe are morally and ethically wrong. Tolerance is not that big of a moral value in my view. It is more a secondary value. It's nice. It's helpful. It's friendly. It is not imperative. And it does not trump at any time one's own personal moral code. So that's what I wanted to say about tolerance. And I thank Rob S. from Michigan for sending me that fantastic email. I only read you a very small part, but the part most related to this discussion. I had intended on doing an ethics show with an opening on tolerance for some time now, but Rob sending his email during the break between number 8 and number 9 helped me decide that this would be the time that I would do that show. My second topic, as I said, is going to be ethics and morals. I use those words generally interchangeably, and I looked them up in Merriam-Webster to confirm that that is acceptable, and for the purpose of this podcast, we will use them interchangeably. Merriam-Webster defines moral as of or relating to principles of right and wrong in behavior, expressing or teaching a conception of right behavior. Remember that second definition, teaching a conception of right behavior, because that's kind of where I'm coming from. But ethics is described as a theory or system of moral values, the principles of conduct governing an individual or group. You may not see them as synonym, but for today, we will. Why am I doing a show on ethics and morals? Well, it derives from one basic issue that I have with paganism in general, and that is the rule, "And it harm none, do as thou wilt." And as a secondary issue, whatever you do will come back to you 3 or 3 times 3. I have a problem with that too, but we'll talk about that in a second. In 1950, whatever it was in particular, the 50s, when Gardner was putting his tradition together and bringing it public, maybe it was reasonable for Gardner to think that society had done a good job of instilling a basic moral character in its citizens, that everyone understood you shouldn't kill and you shouldn't steal and all of those things that we think of as secular moral values. Perhaps that was true, perhaps it wasn't, but certainly by the 60s and the 70s and then the generation coming up today, we cannot say, in my view, that society is teaching a functioning ethical system to every one of its members, where we can tell them, look, do whatever you feel is right, we will trust you to have some sense of right and wrong. Which essentially is what that statement, "And it harm none, do as thou wilt," means. It means we will make no judgment, we will make no argument as to what is good or bad, what is right or wrong, it is solely up to you. And paganism is an individualistic faith. I do realize that. However, if paganism is to have a community, if it is to mesh within a larger society called America, it must have views that are similar, at least at their core, to mainstream society. If we all agree that doing things that are illegal is bad, and that is the basis to start from, you shouldn't steal, you shouldn't kill, etc. That's something. We agree on those things. However, it is not illegal, in general, to cheat on your wife or your husband. It is not illegal to yell at your kids nonstop, tell them that you hate them. It's illegal to hit them. It's illegal to starve them. But it's not illegal to hate them. It's not illegal to treat them like you hate them. There are things the law does not cover. And it is, in my view, this reason why your religion should have something to say about morals and values and ethics. Here's the other problem. If I ask 20 of you to define harm, what harm is, other than killing or maiming, do you think I would get remotely similar answers from 20 people? Do we think morality is that relativistic? I don't. Maybe I'm supposed to. Maybe as a pagan, I'm supposed to believe that there is no such thing as right or wrong. Well, I don't. I don't believe that. There are cultures in Africa that practice female genital mutilation. That's wrong. I don't have to ask anyone. I don't have to have cultural sensitivity. It's wrong. There are places in rural India where if a husband dies, the wife is burned with him on his funeral pyre. That's wrong. Nobody has to tell me. I don't have to discuss it to weigh it versus the idea of what that culture believes. Yes, it's a Western view. Yes, it's a modern view. I still don't think I have to accept or believe that those people have the right to do that, to treat women as possessions or cattle. There are places, although they are becoming more and more rare, where a person committing a homosexual act can be jailed or killed. That's wrong. In my view, being a pagan should not mean life is a free-for-all. You can do whatever you want, whenever you want, so long as you can convince yourself that you're not harming anyone. And let's be honest, even if you're acting ethically, morally, you're going for a new job, and you get that job. Well, you've hurt all the people who didn't get that job. Let's not pretend that you didn't. It is certainly a kind of harm. They could have used that money just as well as you. Maybe they could have used it more than you. You have harmed them in a certain way. So if you took that harm statement literally, how could you ever decide anything? Because not going for a better job when you need one is harming you. Getting that better job is harming everyone else who went for it. It's not functioning. It's nonsensical. I really feel like enumerating or enunciating individual morals and ethics, not as a community. I'm not saying there should be a grand moral council of paganism that tells everyone these are the values you must follow. No, although I am fine with it at the coven level. I feel, and our covens have always functioned this way, that there is a standard, a community standard within a coven or a kindred or a grove that says we believe in these principles, and if you're going to practice with us, you need to practice these virtues as well. But mostly I'm making the case on an individual level. We cannot say in this society, based on what I'm seeing from folks who are in high school now and younger than that, that their moral instruction within their birth family is the same as what mine was. We hold different views. We hold different ideas. They don't necessarily have to have my ideas. I don't necessarily have to become more liberal to match their ideas. But the idea that we would say, look, 17-year-old person coming into paganism who perhaps comes from a family who gave you no moral training, our religious view is do whatever the hell you feel like as long as you don't think it's hurting someone. Is that helpful to that individual, to the community, and for all of you who think the impression of paganism in the larger mainstream society is important? Is that helpful to the way people view us in the larger society? That we have confused or angry or unaware people going around doing things that seem pretty darn immoral, and we say nothing and do nothing because we think it's supposed to be an individualistic decision? I don't think so. I don't think you're doing anyone any favors. Remember, that's the person standing next to you in the line at the pagan festival. That's the person that is sitting at the fire pit with your 12-year-old daughter or your 12-year-old son. You are interacting with these people if you're out in the world. Wouldn't you rather know that you are enumerating or enunciating your value for yourself, and they are doing the same thing? that they are coming up with morals that they are aspiring to. Not necessarily meeting, but aspiring to. It's the first thing that attracted me to Asatru, was that there was the Nine Noble Virtues. I realized they were written by one particular guy at one particular time, but they were meant to encapsulate a larger amount of wisdom from the sagas and the Eddas. I took them, I made them my own, I changed them, I added some. My wife and I, we say 11 virtues now, maybe there's really 12. It's kind of hard to pin them down exactly, but we enunciated things specifically. Courage, honesty, loyalty, patience, things that we think are worth aspiring to and worth talking about to each other, to our friends. They're ways to know who is like us and who is not. Who can we trust based on what their behavior demonstrates about their own morals and values? I just think it is better to ask individuals to think about these things more, to come up with some concrete sense of where do your values fall, instead of giving them some simplistic statement like don't hurt anybody, without even defining what harm is. Particularly because so many pagans are under 25 now. They have no instruction from their parents in paganism. Many of them, if not most of them, don't belong to covens. They don't actually have teachers. They're learning from books. They're learning online. They're listening to podcasts. If we never talk about this stuff, those of us who have spent a lifetime being pagan and trying to work out what does that mean, what are our values, if we don't pass that kind of information on, how can we expect them to know any better or do any better? Whose responsibility is it to pass on the idea of morals and values, if not the, quote, elders of a particular tradition? Gardner may have made a very sensible assumption in 1955. I don't think we can make that assumption now. I don't think it's helpful now. I do think an open discussion about morality is very helpful. We can debate about it. We can argue about it. We can agree to disagree. But let's talk about it. Let's stop using platitudes, simplistic language, for a complex issue. The other thing I was going to say, Oni reminded me about this, that I've always hated the karmic idea that when you do bad things, it will come back to you times three. Beyond the fact that there's not a shred of evidence that that's true anywhere. I mean, does anyone see Adolf Hitler dying 100 million times in some other life? It's not happening. It's silly. It's juvenilistic. Beyond that, even if it were true, couldn't people leverage the idea that I will have a gimme, give me life and then just get really beat down the next life? Do you think people are incapable of doing what they want as long as they feel they can push off the punishment? Is that really a functioning code? It's like locks. Locks keep honest people out of places they don't belong. They don't keep criminals out of places they don't belong. These statements, these simplistic arguments, are not growing paganism or the individuals within it. If you talk to most pagans who have been around a while, over a certain age, or have a particular level of maturity, whatever it may be, whether or not they believe in the Law of Three, whether or not they believe in and harm at none, if you ask them what their personal morals are, it's far more complicated. There's a lot of thought that has gone into what they believe and what they don't believe. I am in no way impugning the morality of the average pagan. That is not my point. I think most people are at heart actually fairly good and generally pretty moral. I honestly believe that. I believe that worldwide, not just Westerners or Americans or pagan. However, there are people who don't know better or need instruction, and we cannot assume that those people will make themselves known immediately as they're becoming pagans. It would be better for all of us if there was just an open and continuing conversation about morality. if books included the idea, hey, look, paganism is a wide open religion. You're going to have to decide what your values are. It may take time. You may need to talk to other elders and stuff. But this is important, and it has to be done. I don't see that. I'm not hearing that. I listened to episode 5 of Ravencast the other day, which is their ethics show, which, by the way, was an excellent episode. Even if you're not a Satru-oriented or heathen-oriented, I think it was an excellent discussion of ethics. Also, Dio's Shadows discussions with Dr. Myers on ethics, although from more a philosophical point of view, are very interesting food for thought, perhaps a little advanced for more beginner pagan, but both of those shows bring a lot of food for thought on this topic, and they bring out the topic in a way that has not been discussed openly, in my view, very often before. I talk about ethics and morals a lot in my personal life. I think about them. I am trying to live out a set of values that I honestly believe in. I am not trying to push them on other people. But that doesn't mean they don't play a factor in who I'm friends with. They do. In the same way that our emailer, Rob, said, isn't there a point at which tolerance becomes abhorrent, where tolerance is hurting us? I think there is. I also think there's a point where morality, where virtue and value and ethics can't be crossed. Now, that line may be personal to you. It may be societal, i.e. breaking the law. Maybe paganism will come to a certain opinion on some issues. I think we would generally agree that older individuals requiring sexual favors from underaged individuals is not acceptable, right? It also happens to be illegal, but we have decided that that is not moral, that that is not right. Is that the only thing we will ever decide is unacceptable, things that are illegal? I think we can and should do better than that. As a community, not only individually how you and I behave, but how we present ourselves, the way we talk about ourselves to others, to each other, to non-pagans. That is basically my point in bringing up this ethics show. It is that a discussion needs to take place, and we need to include the fact that we are decent, moral people when we talk to each other and talk to folks outside of the community. They're never going to understand that if we don't feel that we can even talk about it or say anything about it. Not that I want us to be Christians. Not that I want us to be harping on our morality all the time like evangelicals do. Yet, when evangelicals tell people they're moral, over and over, people believe them. When folks never say anything about their morality, there's room for outsiders to assume. That's all. Don't take that so far. I don't know how to say it exactly. I'm not saying we should be a slave to other people's perceptions, but I'm saying we should not be unmindful of perception. I feel a little caught up on this issue because I have such strong feelings about it. I don't know how well I'm communicating what I'm trying to say. It's a very murky issue. I believe in freedom completely. I'm a vet, so is my wife, so is half of my family. My wife's family. We believe in America. We believe in individual and community freedom. However, Oni and I are more community-oriented in general, where paganism tends to be a little more extreme on the individualized freedom. We believe more in a morality and a freedom that benefits the society, with a little bit of damping on the extreme individual freedom. We can argue about what is extreme. We can have that conversation. I'm fine with that, but I'm just coming at it from a different point of view, that I think we're all in this together, whether you're an American, or an American living in Washington, or a pagan living in Washington, living in America, we are in this together. All of this, this society, this religion, this town, this company, whatever you are part of, it's an old-timey view, okay? Call me Grandpa. I'll be sitting in my rocker waving to passing cars. Fine. But it is my view. It is our view that we hold firmly to. We would like to see paganism be more accepting of this view. Talk about it more. Well, I guess that's really my thoughts on ethics and morals. I don't quite know how to finish that up. There may be a second episode after I see the response, in case I've been completely unclear. But in any case, that's the show. I've had some new friends on Pagan Space and more friends on MySpace. I'm sorry, on Facebook, not on MySpace. I have almost no friends on MySpace, by the way, if anyone is on MySpace. I want to thank everybody who has been my friend, who signed up, who have sent comments or emails to the show. I really enjoy getting your communications. I hope that I've emailed everyone back, even people who just write a quick comment. I like the show. I try to email everyone, let you know I've read it and that I appreciate you listening. Please do spread the word amongst your friends about the show, where it can be found. Thanks to everyone for their support. The show is just about 1,900 hits right now, which is fantastic, far more than I ever imagined it would be. So I appreciate it. I'm going to end the show with another quick song off of the Samba Bossa Nova album. You'll be able to find the name of the album, the record label, the title of the song, and the artist of the song in the notes for the episode on Podbean. I think they'll show up at iTunes as well, but if you can't see them from the iTunes feed, go to Podbean. They'll be there. I know I can't possibly get this individual's name right. Jarzino Oliveira. And with that, I want to say thanks for listening and blessings to you and yours.
Não é papo de psicólogo. Eu só quero entender. É, se um grande amor termina, a gente se preocupa em saber por quê. O que é que deu errado? Onde que desandou? Pra onde foi a alma e a alegria de nosso amor? Não é nenhuma análise, é só um apelo de quem viveu de perto a dor. A gente sofre, a gente explica, mas não resolve, só complica. A mente desespera e o coração não espera. Se a gente vai ficar maluco por amor, é bem melhor que seja dois, pois sendo só é bem pior. É, deita a pensa no amanhã.